So you've basically taken your personal experiences and you've translated those into something positive that you can share with other people and help them achieve similar successes,
I think
basically.
that's true, and I think I've also just been very dedicated to understanding why the lives of our successful clients are vibrant. And for them, it's being part of community as well. It's the friendships as well. In fact, our clients who do the best at dating are clients who've really put the effort into belonging somewhere and having friendships. So it's not just my experience, it's also looking at our most successful clients and seeing what worked for them.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Gilda Evans, bringing you the Autism Resource Podcast. This podcast and the ARP website are your one-stop knowledge and resource base for autism and much more. I'm pleased to have Jeremy and Ilana Hamburg join me today as my guests. Jeremy and Ilana are friendship and dating coaches who teach the strategies and skills that empower autistic and neurodivergent adults to find community, make friends, start dating and build relationships. Ilana has over 16 years of experience as a special education teacher in New York City, and Jeremy has over 13 years of experience as a social coach for autistic and neurodivergent adults. Welcome, Jeremy and Ilana, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me and discuss the work that you do.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
So, to begin with, tell me, what is the Social Life 360 program, and how is it different from traditional social skills classes?
We built Social Life 360 to solve so many of the problems that our clients experienced in other social skills groups and social skills classes throughout their lives. One of the most important features of our program is the very first thing we do with a new client is introduce them to our community of other clients and graduates who are all across the United States and in a variety of foreign countries. And it literally within seconds of someone saying, "Yes, I want to be a part of this," and us introducing them to the community, they start getting messages, and you can hear the pings on their phone from clients all across the United States saying, "Welcome, you belong here, you're gonna love it."
For some of our clients, it's the first time they've been in a community where they've felt wanted and included. And a lot of these people, they sit at home and don't get those pings on their phone. So it's really a great feeling for them.
So we start with that community. And then over the course of about 3 months, we get to work on the A to Z of finding community, becoming part of the fabric of a community, making friends. For a lot of our clients, it's dating too. And we do it in a way that, again, no one else does it. We do a lot of our coaching by online training modules, which allows our clients to read the strategy, listen to the strategy, do it on their own time and as many times as they want. And if they have a question, all they need to do is send us their question and we answer it. So they're not working around our schedule, they're working around their schedule. And I think the secret sauce of the way that we teach, and I think we're really some of the only people doing it, is that we break down social situations and social skills into formulas and diagrams and processes. Because it's much easier for the neurodivergent brain to download information into their heads when it's in a form that's much more black and white and much more understandable to them. So once they understand the formulas and the diagrams and the checklists, they can go out into the world, they can see it being applied in the world, and then they could be a better participant. And it's can drastically change their social life. So I would say those are the reasons why we're different.
Can you please discuss your take on the importance of some of the things that you mentioned, like having community, friendship, and dating goals, as well as finding your tribe, so to speak, and being out in the community? Why is that so important?
I moved to California about 4 years ago, and when I moved out here, I didn't know anybody. It was the pandemic. Very shortly after I moved to California, I found out that I was going to be getting divorced. And so I was really starting life from scratch, from the beginning, 3,000 miles from home. And I looked at what makes me happy. And what makes me happy is being part of something, being part of the fabric of something. And then using that to build friendships. And then using that to build relationships and start dating. And so what's really interesting is that I had to start my life from zero, you know, 3,000 miles from home. And the way I rebuilt my life is exactly to the T what we teach our clients to do. I did exactly what I preach. And now I have communities that I belong to every week that I look forward to. I have friendships that spark my joy. And, you know, a few short years later, I'm remarried to the director of education, Alondra Hambrick, sitting right next to me. And so I think that's a really important part of the answer, but there's actually like a part B to the answer. And I don't talk about this very much, but when I started working in the autistic and neurodivergent community, I was just a dating coach because dating is sexy, right? Young adults and older adults who haven't had the partners, they want dating. And like, it's exciting to them to know that there's a, like an autism dating coach out there. But the deeper I got into this community, and I've now been part of it for over 14 years, the more I realized that friendship and dating are actually on a continuum for a lot of people in the spectrum. What looks like dating to maybe a neurotypical person, or I should say what looks like friendship to a neurotypical person is more akin to dating for some autistic people. And so I broadened my horizons from being a dating coach to being a dating and friendship coach. But then again, I moved to California and life changed and I realized that it's easier to make friends and it's easier to be successful when you're dating, when you're part of a community. Because it gives you stories to tell. It gives you life experiences. And so that's why the three pillars of the program are now community, friendship, and dating. And it's not just dating anymore. They all come together to create a vibrant life.
So you've basically taken your personal experiences and you've translated those into something positive that you can share with other people and help them achieve similar successes.
Basically. I think that's true. And I think I've also just been very dedicated to understanding why the lives of our successful clients are vibrant. And for them, it's being part of community as well. It's the friendships as well. In fact, our clients who do the best at dating are clients who've really put the effort into belonging somewhere and having friendships. So it's not just my experience, it's also looking at our most successful clients and seeing what worked for them.
Now, you talk about something called a mental library. What is that? And why is it such an important tool for connection?
A mental library is essentially a collection of what we call deep questions and dynamic responses that our clients prepare so that when they go out into the social world, they have better questions they can ask and better answers that they can give. And the importance of the mental library was actually really driven home to us last week. And Gilda, you were part of a weekly community call, and I think we were probably talking about it there too, which is, you know, Alon and I were watching the latest season of Love on the Spectrum on Netflix. And, you know, we're watching all of these dates, but some of them in particular, you know, you watch these two people go on a date and they really struggle to formulate conversation. They struggle to formulate questions. They struggle to formulate answers. And it creates these really long, awkward pauses that really act as a barrier to sparking a connection. And so what we work on so much with our clients is being prepared to go out into the social world. Now, this is completely different from scripting. It's completely different from masking, right? It's all about having genuine questions that you want to ask and genuine responses about yourself so that you can connect in a better way. And an example that I like to use is, you know, a lot of times one person will ask another person, oh, where are you from? Okay. And the answer is usually something pretty short, like
New Jersey.
Okay, New Jersey, right? But that really makes the conversation tough, because now if I ask Alana, where are you from? And she says New Jersey, now I have to come up with another question, right? Because her answer doesn't give me a whole lot of place to go. But ask me where I'm from.
Hey, Jeremy, where are you from?
I am from a little known street in northern Manhattan, from the neighborhood called Washington Heights. And something that's really cool is that five generations of my family have spent some time living on that street. We actually go back to 1940 in that neighborhood and on that street. And that is genuine, right? It's not a script. It's not a lie. It is a genuine answer that Alana has heard me give probably
a million times
at this point. But it gives people something to talk about. And not only that, when Alana and I first met, because I gave that answer,
we very quickly realized that our fathers basically grew up a couple blocks from each other and they overlapped at the same high school. They didn't know each other, but they spent 2 years at the same high school together. So it made our connection that much deeper so quickly because we had that to work off of.
Yeah, it's like the difference between giving a yes and a no answer and an answer that has a lot more context and color and depth to it that could serve as an entree, like you said, for more conversation, more questions, more intuitive kind of inquisitive responses and back and forth. And this is what you help people prepare, right?
Exactly. We spend a lot of time on this. And in fact, when you came to the weekly community call a couple of weeks ago, you watched us not only preview a module on building your mental library for first dates. Oh, I think maybe that's the one that you came to. Maybe you came to the one on how to prepare a first date. But
yeah.
Yes. We just previewed a module for our clients on how to prepare for a first date or a hangout by building a mental library. And we got feedback from our clients on the module, because one of the really amazing things about what we teach is that it's in collaboration with our clients. We know the outline of what we want our clients to learn, but then we bring it to our client family and say, here it is, what do you think? And we get amazing feedback from them, so that the curriculum is really a collaborative effort. And Mental Library has been something that our clients have collaborated with us on deeply, because it's something that so many of them have struggled with in the past, and it's such a big part of their success.
Now, you also talk about self-disclosing from a place of strength. Can you describe that?
Yeah, so a lot of people who are autistic or neurodivergent have kind of been taught that they should be apologetic about it, ashamed about it, right? There's something wrong with them. And so we actually get questions all the time from people, not even clients. We get questions all the time from people like, when do I tell someone that I'm autistic? And they ask that question from a place of like embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And so we have a guy on our team. His name is Steven Rodriguez. He does our marketing, and he is autistic, and he's married, and he has a family, and he's a business owner. And he's shared not just with us, but with our client community, that one of the things that's helped him thrive in this world is telling people that his brain is wired differently from a place of strength, right? And he'll oftentimes say something kind of like, hey, by the way, I'll probably be able to fool you for like 5 minutes into thinking that I'm just like you, but pretty soon you're going to see that I'm looking around and probably playing with my fingers. And I just want you to know that, you know, my brain is wired differently. So that's how I concentrate. And, you know, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I hope you are too. So now you know. Yeah. And it's game changing, right?
I think that's fantastic, because I have an autistic son, and I have always supported him in being self-confident, in being proud of who he is as an individual. I'll tell you, he has strengths that just blow my mind. He has the ability to see from a perspective. He has an intuition. He has a take on things that quite frankly, neurotypical person, I think, could never even dream of seeing things from the angle and the perspective that those whose brains are wired differently can see things. I mean, honestly, there are times when I speak with him, I think I'm talking to an existentialist, you know. he's really so intelligent and such a great sense of humor and so intuitive. And I mean, obviously I'm a proud mom, but really I can't underscore that more strongly, the incredible talent and intuition and capabilities that those who are neurodivergent have that just go way, way beyond what we can ever dream of or imagine in our own neurotypical brains, those of us who are neurotypical. I don't know if any of us really are. We all have our own shtick, right? You know, honestly, I think eventually it's not going to be the autism spectrum. It's not going to be neurodivergent, neurotypical. It's just going to be the human spectrum, right? It's just going to be, where do you vibrate? Are you ultraviolet? Are you visible? Are you infrared? We all have our stuff and our foibles and our faults and the ways of looking at things, right? Don't you agree with that?
I may need to borrow the term human spectrum from you.
I love that.
I start using that starting like immediately.
Okay. As long as you give me credit, I'm fine with it.
You got it.
That's just more people who know about the podcast and who know about the wonderful resource that it is.
Taking note of it right now.
Writing down human spectrum. Yeah.
Okay.
Gilda Evans.
All right. So you guys offer what you refer to as strategy sessions. What can someone expect if they schedule one of those with you?
Yeah, we have an amazing team. And right now, the person who leads the strategy session is a wonderful, wonderful coach named Cecile. She lives in Canada. She is a late diagnosed autistic woman. She spent 26 years as an oncology nurse. And before that, and I am not joking, she was a drill sergeant in the Canadian military.
She is
the most fascinating, kind, insightful human being you ever want to meet. And so right now, she's the one who runs our strategy sessions. It is a family call. So for almost everybody, almost every family, it's a mom and a dad and an autistic adult or neurodivergent adult. And Cecile is going to give the family 90 minutes. There's no cost and there's no catch. But we're going to sit down for 90 minutes and we're going to dive into what are your friendship goals? What are your relationship goals? We're going to dive into where are you getting stuck in the process? And then we're going to talk about what we see as how to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And if that resonates with the family, and if Cecile feels confident that our program is the right fit for them, then and only then she will talk with the family about Social Life 360 and how it could potentially change the life of their young adult and their family. Cecile loves doing these calls. We do too, but we don't get to do very many of them anymore because our clients are at all different phases of their community building and friendship building and dating. So we spend most of our time with our clients and also going around the country and around the world, spreading the message to different organizations that better is possible. And it's really important to focus on reducing loneliness and helping people connect. But Cecile is a rock star when it comes to these strategy sessions. And she gives all of her attention and all of her effort over the 90 minutes. And we just ask that families do the same.
All right. Well, then the next obvious question is, how can our listeners reach you if they want to know more?
If someone wants to book a strategy session, if you're an autistic or neurodivergent adult, you can book one for your family at mybestsociallife.com/free session. So I'll spell that out. mybestsociallife.com/free session. MyBestSocialLife.com.
I feel like you're in a spelling bee.
/free session.
You did it.
And for parents, it's mybestsocialife.com/apply, APPLY. The other thing people can do is they can just reach out to us. My email address is Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y, @mybestsociallife.com. I think I spelled it out once. I don't need to spell it out again.
No. You're good. But thank you for spelling your name.
You're welcome. That's the best way to reach out to us.
Okay, great. And thank you both really so much for your time and for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. This was great.
If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. You can find it on Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other popular platforms. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And you can always access us and other great resources on our website, autismresourcepodcast.com. I want to thank our listeners for spending part of their day with us. This is the Autism Resource Podcast, and I'm Gilda Evans, reminding you to take care of yourself and that special person in your life.